Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Final hour of the show starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Thursday. Tomorrow in Beaumont at West Bar, or the West Bar, if you're from the
West.
The West
as Bar. As we say in the Mont.
Yes.
Like I'm from there.
Big Money Beaumont.
BMT.
B-Town.
All those.
Nick just going to make another appearance in the 409 is big enough because people have been waiting.
Clamoring.
They
looking forward to it.
Cannot wait. There's love and hate waiting for Nick on his way to the 409.
That's right.
So, and new place for us, too. So, and, you know, seeing some of the history as the guys were breaking it down for us, and we've got an email from Wes, too, that said, look, the cool thing is the West Bar was the one that gave ESPN 97.5 its shot to start broadcasting live from Beaumont.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And so that's kind of a neat thing to be get down back down there and see all the good people of Beaumont. That's always a good thing.
Uh-huh.
So we're looking forward to that. You and I said before the A's series that we were looking at 3-1.
Split. Oh, 3-1. Yeah, you're right.
So now we're looking at trying to get a split, but at least Justin Verlander's on the mound.
Yeah. They should win tonight.
I think they should, too, but I hate saying that because, man, it's been painful to watch the games lately. I felt awful for the big scoring games, but then my frustration level with Urquidy is he pitched so well, and you knew that basically he had the A's hitters at bay. I mean, and this is a team that's in the wild card hunt, that's right there needing every single at-bat, every single game, and he was mowing them down, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, you're done, and here comes Josh James. And I'm like, okay, and then they start breaking it down with, because he's had surgery in the past, A.J. Hinch after the game was very honest about it and said, I hold this kid's future and his career in my hands with the decisions that I make. He goes, I got to make a smart decision. So people didn't know before the game, but now found out if you really want to see Urquidy out there a lot between now and the end of the season, it's probably not going to happen because he's on an innings restriction based on the fact that he's had Tommy John in the past. And because of all the innings he's thrown in the minor leagues, hey, great that you're doing well in the bigs, but they're going to cut you off at a certain
point. Yeah, well, and you have to do that nowadays. That's just the nature of baseball. That's the nature of these arms. And yeah, it does suck because he looked like he was rolling. He looked like he could have gone at least a couple more innings.
He was talking to his sweeping slider. He had changed the grip a little bit. He'd made some adjustments one way or another, and it was working, and it sure was because it looked tempting as hell. A lot of times when they slowed it down, like it looked like it was coming into the zone, and by the time it got near the plate, it was diving down in the other batter's box. Guys were flailing and missing at it. He made one mistake, and I thought it was kind of ironic that
they were literally talking about. Yes, that
TK
was hilarious.
Was like, watch his locations. He hasn't missed a location. Oh, except for that one.
He was like, that was a shot. Yeah, he was literally talking about how he's, you know, Maldonado would set up and he would hit the glove. Wherever the glove was, yeah, he was hitting it. And literally during that at bat, he started getting real erratic. And I thought, well.
Yeah, that's right. Because the first one he goes, watch wherever Maldonado puts the glove, he hits it. He goes, except that one where that was supposed to be down in their way and it was
a little
up.
Missed again. He missed again. And then he just left one up in the zone. And, you know, it's those split second things. But as I saw the pitch cross the plate, I was like, uh-oh. Sure enough. Because that location to a major league hitter, that's bad news every time, especially if you're not topping out at 99.
True.
Up in the zone like that. So, yeah. But he pitched well, 5 innings, 1 earned run. He had the 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Only threw 82 pitches, so you feel like he could have gone at least another inning, if not 2 more. But you're right. If I didn't watch the post-game presser, so I wasn't aware of the whole Tommy John thing. But it makes a ton of sense why you would keep him on the innings restriction.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you look at it, too, again, we look at the division from year to year, and we're always talking about, you know, who the Astros have to worry about and other things. But one of the great points that Blummer made last night was, I mean, you know what Chapman brings you. You know Matt Olson is your first baseman of the future, and those guys got pop, and they're going to be around a while. But just the way that Semien has kind of really evolved as a shortstop makes you believe their left side is really, really good. They've got a first baseman. Laureano again last night, and I don't blame Gary Pettis for sending Altuve because of the fact that he bobbled the ball after everything that was going on with the double by Brantley. He bobbled the ball. I don't disagree. You have to send him there, but the dude has a cannon.
Yeah.
And he still was able to pick it up, fired a laser, and the key was it was on target. And he got Altuve at the plate. But
when he bobbled
got some talent.
It, when he bobbled it, I yelled out, "Send him."
I'm with you.
And then when he rounded third and I saw him come up throwing, I was like, "Oh, no. Don't send it. No, damn it."
Well, I was just hoping that that Altuve was going to say he missed me and that we could go to replay.
Right.
And he missed the tag. And then I went, "No, they're not arguing it for a reason. That was a hell of a throw."
Yeah. Wow.
So hopefully they have better luck tonight against an A's team, like I said, that's scratching and clawing, needing every win, trying to stay in that three-team race for the two wild cards with the Indians and the Rays. Currently, the Indians are a half game out, and the A's and the Rays are in.
How about Springer with another home run?
And the other night, because it was a blowout, he had two in his first two at-bats. Could have done more damage, and AJ just decided to give the guys the rest of the night off because they weren't going to win.
Your leadoff hitter is one back of the league lead, the team lead.
He's got one behind 34. Bregman, right?
Bregman has 35. Yep. He's got 34. That's outstanding.
Isn't it, though?
That's pretty impressive. And, you know, there was some discussion last night. I don't know if it was before the game or after, but it was about Alex Bregman and the MVP race. And again, we talked about it. He's behind Trout in like eight statistical categories. I think he's going to finish up there. I think it's too late. What I would be interested to see is, does Bregman has he been as consistent as Trout has all year, or has Trout been as consistent as he has all year? Because I think that's going to matter too. Everybody's like, well, he's making a late push. Well, that's fine. But if you're trying to play catch up, then that lets you know that you weren't as consistent. Although I feel like Alex Bregman he had a slump, but it wasn't a prolonged slump.
I feel like this is a discussion that started in the NBA. And I saw it, I think it was maybe the Stroh poll the other night, but also people on Twitter, because I think you really addressed it and hit the nail on the head when someone had tweeted to all of us about whether Bregman should surpass Mike Trout or be in the conversation for MVP. And that is when you start factoring in the success of the team and how the team has done for the year, because this goes back to the Curry and Harden question and then Westbrook and Harden question. You look at it and you say, sure, Mike Trout has all these numbers, but his team sucks.
Uh-huh.
And doesn't have to factor in, and shouldn't it factor in?
And that's something
that people always ask. But again, that's what why I always beat the drum of, why don't we know the criteria? Because at some point, if we knew the criteria, we'd say, hey, as long as we know that team results don't matter, then we'll just look at the stats. But if you're telling me that the success of the team should be factored into part of the deal, then I think that Bregman should be considered.
Yeah, it is, because there's a difference between value and best, because the case that I would make for Alex Bregman, even though statistically he's behind Mike Trout in a lot of categories, and I think Mike Trout's going to win the MVP, the case that I would make for Bregman is, when the Astros had a lot of guys on the DL and were struggling, Bregman was there, and he was the most consistent guy on this team and kept them winning. And that's value. Mike Trout can be on the, you know, he could play in all 162 games. But if that team finishes second to last in the division, how much value does he have for that team?
Exactly. And you know this, because
that's
we've
always
had this conversation
been
before.
When it comes to MVP.
If you're
going to
argue that point too, then DJ LeMahieu's got to be in that conversation. Because while the Yankees had everybody and their mother on the injured list.
Exactly.
DJ LeMahieu had just kept on stepping up, and he's having a career year across the board. So when you look at all that, you say, hey, with the success of the Yankees too, he's got to be in the conversation.
I would agree.
So, I mean,
so if you're going to say that, then you would look at it and go, well, I mean,
now you're looking at Bregman and LeMahieu and comparing those stats too.
And Trout's by far the best player in baseball, but his value, I think his value on a better team is obviously higher. But what value do you have if your team's not winning? How much? And then that's the other question is, do the voters consider that? Whether we consider it or not, it's do the voters put any
stock
in
that? That's
why
I keep going back to criteria. In all these different awards that are given out, from MVPs in both leagues and Hall of Fames and everything like that, give us the criteria involved in it, or at least an overview, because it would simplify how we break these things down, because we just don't know. So from year to year, it seems like the criteria changes, because in the Harden-Curry year, Curry's team had more wins, so that was decisively the reason why. The next year, Harden's team had more wins, and Harden had unbelievable statistics, but Russ averaged a triple-double, and that superseded it. Mm-hmm. So then why wasn't it the same criteria? So we just don't know.
Right.
And that's the
confusion. Well, who would you vote for right now? Who would be your pick between those three?
I just think numbers-wise, I can't argue with Mike Trout.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 45 home runs, 104 RBIs. And Bregman is there, 35 home runs, 103 RBIs. OBP, Trout has a 438. Bregman has a 416.
Honest and objective, taking the homer out of it, Mike Trout's numbers are fantastic.
Yeah. And it's weird because you look at Bregman, and that he's had his August, he's hit 404. But if you go back to the beginning of the season, 067, 309, 260, 267, and then he hit 233. Then he jumps up to a 404. So there's a dip, right? Now let me read you Mike Trout from the beginning of the season. 333, 288, 275, 320, 286, 283. No real dip at all. You can see a huge swing in Bregman from month to month, as opposed to Trout, who seems to be a little more steady. So I don't know how much weight that carries with voters, but Trout's definitely been a little more consistent all year.
I agree. So, all right, there you go. Another segment in the books. Rolling through that final hour of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You do nothing but keep it right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city of Houston, Texas. And as Barry likes to mention from time to time, we even mentioned places like Brownsville, because I'm going to take you to Brownsville right now, Barry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You mentioned this when we were talking Monday, I believe it was, when we were reviewing some of the games that happened and surprises in the NFL, and we talked about the Browns. And we talked how everybody was talking up the Browns, and at least for 1 week, they were very down.
Uh-huh.
Right? So as part of that, defensive back Logan Ryan and others were celebrating near the end zone wall, and a fan decided to throw beer all over the players.
Okay, saw that.
Yep. So the Browns wanted to act swiftly and take action. Maybe they went a little too fast.
Okay? Oh, yeah?
So they first went out to start basically, I wouldn't say brag, but to at least make the statement with confidence so that people think they did the right thing. They found a fan and they were going to ban him. And Logan Ryan of the Titans came out and said, look, he's appreciating the fact that the Browns acted swiftly and banned the fan who doused him with beer at First Energy Stadium. The only problem was, didn't get the right guy.
What?
A man named Eric Smith.
They banned the wrong guy?
A man named Eric Smith claiming he was banned by the Browns told the TV station there in Cleveland he wasn't even at the stadium. He was DJing a wedding.
That's so Browns.
He just tweeted out earlier yesterday, I legit got from the Browns telling me I've been banned from the stadium for throwing the beer in Logan Ryan's face Sunday. I'm fairly certain I haven't been to a game since 2010.
Wow. That's... Oh,
he then followed it up and showed a picture of the guy who actually did it, because the camera saw him, and then side by side put him next to it, and you can see similarities. They both have a beard. The first guy looks just like Michael Connor of another station. He does not look like Michael Connor. You probably don't know
him. Oh, no.
He's on with Sean in the Morning. Oh. But he basically then tweeted out and said, Cleveland music group versus the Browns. I love Cleveland so much. The Browns think DJ Eric Smith was the fan who tossed a beer on a player at a game Sunday. The only thing DJ Eric was tossing on Sunday was beat drops as he was DJing a wedding. To which the Browns finally had to release another statement that says, our investigation of the fan incident on Sunday is ongoing. While we are continuing to gather information, have been in contact with multiple people as part of the process, we have not explicitly identified the individual involved or taking any formal action or punishment at this time. We have no other further comment until it's complete. But you did take action because you banned the guy that hasn't been there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people.
Just own it. That's all you got to do is like, hey, we screwed up. That's our bad.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, in every city, there are people that buy season tickets and never use them. They sell them.
Yep.
I mean, that's why sometimes it's big business, and there are actually companies that go to, like, when I was with the Rockets, they had to specifically have limits on the amount of tickets you could buy for season tickets because these ticket brokers would come in and want, like, you know, 30, 40 season tickets in different price levels so they could all turn around and just sell it for more profit. So teams actually pay
attention
to that. So
they're the ones driving up the prices.
In essence, in at least partly, yes.
I don't like it.
There's not a lot of stuff you do like. But at this point, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you're involved in all of that stuff too, make damn sure you have team security.
Yeah, banning the wrong person.
Get the right guy.
Banning the wrong person is pretty bad.
That's
awful. You had one job.
Granted, now there are similarities in the way they look, so at least it wasn't too bad.
Are you saying that all white people look alike?
It wasn't like a white couple that got an Asian baby.
Are they white guys?
Yep.
Are you saying all white people look alike, Joel?
Nope. Not saying
maybe
that.
Maybe the Browns are.
I showed you the picture, so I've done my due diligence to show that there is similarities in the way that they look.
Yeah, they look a lot alike.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
Maybe all white people do look alike.
Just look at our show poster. No, they do not.
That's true. I'm handsome. You're not.
And then there's Nick. So, all right. So that was just another tidbit I thought I'd throw out there because I'm like, how do you get the wrong guy?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Not wise guys. Oh, that's wrong show.
They're also showing this came out during this week because of the fact that the former Browns interim coach, Greg Williams, now the defensive coordinator for the Browns, now is the defensive coordinator for the Jets. And OBJ has come out and said that he has been made aware of the fact that Greg Williams was teaching cheap shots, dirty hits, and that guys that he found out that had played for Greg Williams when playing against Odell Beckham Jr. teams was, again, encouraging taking him out, cheap shots, and they went back and found some video and showed defenders that were legitimately taking pretty aggressive blows at his lower leg.
I've never understood this in the NFL. Like, why you would openly teach guys, teams or whatever, to take cheap shots, or like with the whole Saints bounty gate thing, because guys are going to leave your franchise. Guys are going to go elsewhere. They're going to retire. Things don't always work out. And it only takes one. So even if you may think everything's great and this locker room is solid, and then Jadeveon Clowney's like, no, I want to get paid. And then you're like, well, we don't want to pay you. And he's like, well, fine then. I'll go elsewhere. And then once he goes elsewhere, he's like, oh, by the way, this is all their dirt. This is they do this, they do that. I've never understood why you would even attempt to do stuff like, hey, encourage guys to take cheap shots on other players, because if they end up being teammates, they're going to find out, and that is a really bad look.
And that's exactly what happened here, because ironically, the name Texans people will know, but Brian Bodie Calhoun was the guy that ended up hitting OBJ in the lower leg and really derailed his career. They thought that there might be serious ramifications there. But Beckham basically said, I had people who were here when he was here telling everybody, if you get a chance, take a shot at him. If you can, hurt him. I guarantee he's going to leave the game and stuff like that. We're all men out here. There's no need for doing any of that kind of stuff. Make the play the best way you can, clean.
Wow.
This dude this is the... You can look at it a million different ways. We've heard how many different stories from the Bounty Gate thing with New Orleans to all the different things that since then, even with Hard Knocks, and we saw what kind of guy he was. This is just the way he's always taught. He's taught that as part of the way he coaches the game, and that's a bad thing.
It's a real bad thing. I don't know what's going to come of it, if anything. I doubt. You think that the NFL does anything or says anything?
I mean, they have to have proof.
But the bottom line is that people are, right?
Yeah, well, it is. But if you get multiple witnesses... This is how Bounty Gate got started. If you have multiple players that don't play for him anymore that can honestly say unequivocally, look, when I was with Team A that he was the defensive coordinator on, he encouraged us when we played Team B that player should be targeted.
But protect the shield. Guys aren't going to snitch. I mean, one guy did, obviously, but it's his word against a whole bunch of others.
But like I said, that's how Bounty Gate got started. And then you had guys giving their accounts, and proof started coming up. And the next thing you know, it went from a molehill to a mountain. And they had to do something about it. And it obviously it looks like he hasn't changed his ways.
Yeah.
That's a bad look, because like you said, it's just like in any other league. The fact of the matter is that players are going to be friends with other players, and they're going to have their back. It's just like they don't talk about their salaries, because one year it might be somebody else. The next year it could be you that's trying to get more money.
Right.
So you protect the players because you know that one year a guy could be against you, and the next year he could be your teammate.
Yeah, it seems like a risky proposition to do it. Now, if you wanted to bring one guy in your office, let's just say you go to one dude on the team, a middle linebacker, whatever, and you sit him down and say, look, I count on you. I can't do this with anybody else, but I promise you, if you go at OBJ directly, go at his knees, he's sensitive, he's soft, we can get him out of the game, that's really going to help us. You know, I'm not telling you to be dirty, but if you were, it's not going to hurt my feelings. Some conversation like that, one-on-one, because then it's just his word against yours. And you can blame disgruntled player because he's no longer with the organization. As long as he's there, he's obviously not snitching on anything. But once he leaves, then you can be like, he's just disgruntled. But to do it in a locker room setting, that's just stupid. You deserve to get caught.
I'm totally with you.
Wow.
Totally, totally with you. So with that being said, we got a half hour to go on the show as we continue to roll on. So we're going to take it till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. And, of course, if you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can always reach us via Twitter, even when we're not on the air, and that is at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. How about that?
I like it. Did you see where Sarah Barshop had tweeted out? She's going to join us tomorrow at 3:30 like she does every week. But Kiki QT was a full participant in practice on Wednesday. She put out the full injury report list. So QT was a full participant. Fuller was limited, but it wasn't injury related. Good news, Deshaun Watson was a full participant after the whole back thing. Justin Reed was full. A couple of linemen were limited. DeAndre Hopkins was limited because of ribs. But it's funny that QT pops up all of a sudden. Now he's a full participant on the ankle.
I saw what you tweeted.
And yeah. I tweeted out, looks like Kenny Stills got somebody's attention, because QT's looking at that going, that's my spot. I better be on the field, because I promise you right now, Bill O'Brien, if he gets anything out of Stills, QT is expendable. He'll be gone.
Well, I've heard from several people around the team, too, that just even at the end of last year, but then with everything the way it's gone so far this year, that they're starting to get tired of the fact that potential can only go so far, and he just can't stay healthy. And you know what? We said he was an insurance policy for either Fuller or QT, but the bottom line is, if he keeps – obviously, he had very limited knowledge of the playbook, but he made a contribution and got the – and the big – absolutely. Yeah,
biggest catch of the night.
Yep, you're right. And so as he gets more comfortable and more familiar with that playbook, you got to believe it's only going to get better. And if he is who he's been, at least potential-wise throughout his career, but also he's been – you went through and what they got him and showed that he's always been on the field. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien wants guys that he can trust that are going to go out there and get the job done. And he's proven in just 1 week that he's a guy that you got to consider for that.
Titus Howard, full participant in practice as well.
That's great. And O'Brien said yesterday after practice in his press conference, he says there's a good chance he could play Sunday. I hope he does.
Did you see the mess up that O'Brien had in his press conference? It was pretty funny. He was talking about the injury report. He's like, well, we've waived this guy. And all the reporters are in the room, right? He's at the podium. He's like, we waived so-and-so. We waived Aaron Colvin.
Yeah.
And Aaron Wilson's a reporter. And the whole place just died laughing. He's like, sorry, that was a Freudian slip. And then Aaron Wilson stood up. He goes, Aaron, turn in your playbook. Get out of here. It was pretty funny. It's the first time I've ever seen Bill O'Brien smile and laugh. I was like, oh, look, he does have feelings. How cool is that? He laughed.
He really did. It's different. But also, they're saying with the move to get rid of Colvin, he's trying to set the tone, too, of saying, look.
You play bad, you're gone?
Yeah.
Why is Shontrell Henderson still
absolutely
here?
Absolutely right.
Should be gone.
You've wished
both of those since
you've wished basically death on players.
No,
so
I don't wish death on either of them. I just don't want them being on the Texans anymore. And speaking of that, did you see Bill Belichick's press conference? Oh my God. They were hammering about Antonio Brown. And he's like, we're on to Miami. And somebody goes, yeah. He goes, I've answered that question. And somebody goes, no, you didn't. He goes, yes, I did. And he walked off. Like good old Bill Belichick.
Difference between him changes. And O'Brien doing it?
Super Bowl.
Belichick's won a few things.
Yeah.
All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. Final 30 minutes coming up next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
The Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we mentioned that we would at least mention...
We mentioned
Mr. Bowe at 3:30.
Jerry Bowe.
Jerry Bowe. Happy birthday to Jerry Bowe.
Saw him out in the thing. I went by and said, hey, Buzz, happy birthday. He said, yes, happy birthday, old
Maybe
man.
Maybe for those of you who've earned money off of his plays, give him a little something.
No doubt. For the birthday, because he takes care of you year round. So happy birthday to Jerry Bowe. I've warned him, by the way, that he has someone to be worried about, that our man Barry Bowe is going to be putting out some handicapping notes, tips, and picks.
No. And he gave you the blank stare. He didn't know what you were talking about.
I'll never be as good as Jerry Bowe at that stuff, ever.
Well played.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick got one in there.
See that?
That was pretty good. Hey, you and I were talking, and Nick was talking earlier in the week about this whole Antonio Brown situation, and we're always quick to say, hey, before you pass judgment, you know, slow your roll and make sure that the facts are going to come out. They may not come out as quickly as you want them to, but normally it all comes out in the wash, as the saying goes, and we'll find out what happened. Right?
Yes.
If you're the beat writer of an NFL team, I mean, we're radio guys in a big city, and we know this. If you're the beat writer for the Miami Dolphins, don't you think that it would be in your best interest that you wouldn't decide to just start tweeting all of your personal opinions of what happened? And let them sit out there for a while? Yeah. So here's what happened. Omar Kelly is the beat writer for the Sun Sentinel. He covers the Dolphins. Someone finally got to him after a good portion of time, after he decided to air it out on what he thought was really going down in this rape allegation with Antonio Brown. And, I mean, I can read you some of them. But the bottom line is he deleted his initial one, but then with all of the comments and how he responded and everything else, he just kept on going. And I noticed, and I went back and I looked at his Twitter account to see, because someone said, yeah, he was smart enough to take it down. Well, he was dumb enough to go to practice today and cover the Dolphins like nothing happened.
Oh, no.
My man's bio on his Twitter account says part-time superhero, full-time NFL beat writer and columnist. Well,
part-time idiot, too.
Yeah, I don't know where idiot factors in, but it's a big play today because he's basically questioning everything that this woman has brought to the table and her timing and why she did what she did. And
somebody sent a video of her and him. It was on his phone, and it was little bitty 1 to 2 second clips of them hanging out together, bed together or whatever. And they were like, doesn't look like a trainer client relationship to me. Again, at this point, I'm not going to rush to judgment on either side. I just want to hear facts. I'm not going to not believe her, but I'm not going to assume he's guilty. I want to hear the case. I want to hear the information that exists. That's what I want to hear.
So this is and this is the thing too. So when people kind of went back at him, instead of going, you know what, I need to kind of reevaluate. No, because at one point, he basically was like, you know, someone said, so the NFL beat writers are going to teach us all about the psychology of being an abuse victim. And he's like, no, but I can teach you about the psychology behind athletes being preyed upon for money, fame, and access.
I mean, that does exist.
Right, but you don't know in this case.
I wouldn't take to the Twitter streets and start championing that as the reason.
He said, if you're raped, the first thing you should do is call the police and have a rape kit done, and someone responded and said, your comments are some of the reasons why women want to come, why they don't want to come forward, because they don't think people are going to believe them.
Dude.
And it's just...
Shut your mouth. If you don't, you know not of what you speak. Like, how are you going to sit there and tell a woman that has been raped how to handle it? One, you're not a woman. Two, you've never been raped. shut up. Like, the dudes that try to tell women that have been raped how to handle it, don't do that. That's just asinine. I don't. That's like telling anybody, if you've never been robbed, if you've never been, you know, discriminated against or any of that stuff, don't tell people how to handle that
Seriously.
Stuff.
That's my thing.
It's ridiculous.
And then don't and keep going. Obviously, you don't have many good friends
then you
in
double
the industry.
Down on it. Dude.
Someone, anyone that's in the media should have after the first one going, bro,
stop.
Get it down now.
Yeah.
Take it down. Hope no one.
This is going to backfire on you, buddy. Yeah, something.
Someone said, this is a really bad look, man. And he said, you're certainly welcome to your opinion, but I'm entitled to mine. Just to make sure you mention there's a whole industry created for people, women included, that prey on professional athletes for time and money.
That guy's a dumbass.
And then he put, y'all really falling for this money grab?
Oh,
not to
God.
Belittle victims of sexual assault, but why is this news coming out right now?
Here's the thing. As I think we all have questions. Like, why was it, or why wasn't it ever pursued criminally? That's certainly a valid question to ask.
Yep.
What are all the facts of the case? You know, what did they have a relationship? But at the end of the day, a woman is coming forward and saying she was sexually assaulted, saying she was raped. This is three different allegations. And there's one stance that most people should have on this, or everybody, is let's hear the facts. I'm not going to not believe this woman like this guy is, but I'm not going to assume guilt. I want to hear the facts.
Exactly. That's what we said. I don't think either one of us, you or me, or anybody here for that matter, we're going to go to Twitter right away and just start airing it out.
No. And I, you know, that was like somebody today, I got into it with somebody that I said something about 9/11, and I said, you know, that 9/11 was 18 years ago. And I feel like this country is more divided now than we've ever been, or we've been in a long time. But those moments after 9/11, we were united, and it sucks that we're in this position. Some guy's like, well, what have you done? I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I try not to be racist. I try not to be sexist. I try to believe women. We talk about issues on the show and be honest and have an open dialogue. I mean, those are the things that I do. And one of those things in there is believe women. And I think that that's a shift that this society has had to accept and deal with is in the past, in the not so distant past, that when women didn't want to come forward because nobody did believe them. Ah, no, there's no way there's no way Louis C.K. was creepy like that. There's no way it's Bill Cosby. There's no way he raped anyone. And that's the problem, is that we don't believe women. We don't assume. I'm not telling you to assume guilt, but I'm just telling you not to dismiss women when they come forward, especially if you're in a public, if you're a public figure like this dumbass is.
Yeah.
How about you just sit on your hands? How about you don't type anything and just wait to hear the facts?
I mean,
stupid.
It just absolutely insanely stupid. And I kept reading these things going, oh my God, how do you keep going? How does not the first one real? You step back and go,
doubling down.
Should not have done that. And it kept going. I mean, the fact that he said, if someone raped me in May, I would have called the police in May, not issued a civil suit in September when football season arrived. Also, if they, quote, sexually assaulted me, unquote, I'm not going to back to work with them after they allegedly apologize. Until you've been through the situation, and even
you
then,
you don't know how you handle it.
You don't know that situation. Step back and shut up.
Yeah. Guys, here's that I'm saying, guys as in men, play the sidelines on stuff like this. Be smart. Just sit on the sidelines. And I know we're going to get some texts, not every woman is telling it. Shut up. You're the actual person I'm talking to. Play the sidelines. Don't sit there and try to beat that women lie to. We get that. There are false accusations in every walk of life. Play the sidelines till the facts come out. That's all you got to do. That's all we all have to do. That's all we all should do.
Right there. Enough said. We got to go. One segment to go on the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. It's the final segment of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it right here at ESPN 97.5. Fred, AJ, Aaron, ready to go.
Yeah, from the text line, Titan Hugo said, Suspects, best show in town. Fantasy football, porn talk, sports talk, lawn talk. Can't beat that in one show. By the way, Titans win. Team Punishment wins this weekend. I have a feeling I might be playing him.
He's in your league.
He is in my league, and I wonder if I'm playing him in fantasy, because that might be why he tried to butter me up first.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah. He knows if he says a bunch of nice things, I'll read his text.
Yep.
And then, okay, no, I'm not playing him. He's actually just a good dude.
I was going to say, because the other thing is going to be, from the flip side of that, he also learned a valuable lesson that if you do it like Clarence does it, you pay an awfully steep price.
Yeah, no, Titan Hugo has been down from day one.
Yes, he has.
He has been here, so we love you, Titan Hugo. Walt texted, speaking of down from day one, Walt said, since today is What Are the Chances Thursday, what are the chances Trey is on the Fred Hartman Bridge since he lives in Baytown?
Somebody asked him that, actually, on Twitter.
Really?
He basically said he could confirm he's not.
I'm just saying I hope they doubled up on the rope. All right.
That's just not nice.
Hudat texted and said, hopefully I can make it to the West tomorrow. Love you guys. Yeah, hope to see you out there, Hudat. Hope you are able to make it.
I can't believe you said that about Trey. By the way, and we've had Patrick Grandizzle and other people talking about
that you would want to reinforce the rope on Trey if you were hanging from the bridge? No one here, if I would say the same thing about you and me, if we were going to hang ourselves off the bridge like these weirdos at Greenpeace. See?
Okay, now you know what I'm saying.
I should have said something inappropriate about Cody because he honked at me in the parking lot of the subway.
Scared the hell out of you, he said.
Well, I was going to fight. I didn't know who it was. He goes, you mean mugged me. I was like, I didn't know who it was.
Wait a minute, time out. So a guy, you just walk through the parking lot, someone honks at you
to wave at you. I scowled
at him. And you want to scowl and fight him?
I mean, I didn't know. First of all, I couldn't see that he waved. I didn't know it was Cody. All I know is that some big dude in a truck drove past me in a parking lot and honked. I was off to the side. You know those a-holes that walk in the middle of the parking lot? I want to run those people over, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they've got kids or not.
You mean that they won't get out of the way of the car?
Get out. Don't walk in the middle of the parking lanes. Walk to the sides, you idiots. But I was walking far to the side. I was getting ready to get in my car, and some big dude in a big truck just drive by and honks at me like I was in the middle of the lane. So I whipped my head around, and I just glared at him. I didn't know it was Cody. And he drove off, and he goes, man, you sure were mean in the parking lot. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, that was me that honked at you. I'm like, I didn't know that. I just saw some. He goes, yeah, I forgot my windows were tinted. You couldn't see me. I was like, yeah, as far as I know, it was just some dick just trying to start a fight with me.
Because he told me, he goes, I honked at Barry. I saw him going to Subway when I was coming out of the restaurant. It looked like there was a combination between him getting an enema and someone actually wanted to shake his hand instead of fist bumping because he was not happy. I was
no,
like, really?
Yeah, I tell you, you think I come in here and make these stories up when I mean mug
sometimes.
People and I mean? No.
Sometimes.
No.
It's a bit.
No. I realized Bill Burr in his special was talking about his anger and his Yeah, like, you know, he just gets real, he loses his temper real fast. I was like, that's me. I realize I really do have a bad temper. I feel like all three of us actually have a bad temper on the show. We're probably the three worst people to put together.
No.
Because all three of us have terrible tempers.
I don't think they're terrible anymore. I think they might have started out that way.
I bet I can make you mad before the show's over.
I don't think we need to try.
Come on, Nick. You think we can make him mad? He's trying to tell
us
that the tempers aren't bad.
Nick, you don't have a temper, right?
I guarantee. Are you kidding?
If you got a phone number with 10 digits in it, you can see a temper.
He's the worst of the three of us.
I wouldn't say I'm the worst.
It's just because of your nationality.
Oh,
no, it's so messed up.
Here we go. Wrapping the show the way
you and AJ are one, by the way.
Why?
You and AJ are one, because that's something AJ would say.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't let me in with that idiot. Oh, God. Now you're comparing me to him? Ugh. Ugh. Gross. See, I figured I could make one of you mad, or AJ, before this is... You know what makes me mad about him is he doesn't really have a temper. That makes me so mad. As I'll go, I think I'll have some dirt on him, like we all know the dirt. And I was like, look at this. He was like, yeah, and? I was like, damn it, man, it never works. Makes me mad. He's very difficult to rattle. I don't like it. I don't like it. I need him to be more sensitive.
He still gets into it with people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got his point. But, like, our threshold, the three of us, our threshold is a lot lower than, like, his and Fred's.
Yeah. I would disagree with that.
No.
I would totally disagree
with
that.
You would be wrong.
I would totally disagree with that.
You think
in both cases or one case?
Both cases.
Okay.
It's not extreme. It's not significantly lower. It's a bit lower.
Okay.
Like, aside from the brisket, Lance is... He handles a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And Lance gets a lot.
No one has between John Granato and Raheel, they both of them seem unflappable to me.
I agree.
But, yeah, you could tell Lance, the brisket thing was not, that was his limit. That was his line. Usually he's pretty good about it.
Dirty bitches.
Yeah. He got excited.
Speaking of that, somebody, I think it was Kobos Q, had sent out a tweet of a picture of all them in the morning with some barbecue, and Lance was wearing the shirt that I created, that Welcome to the Land Where It Just Don't Stop. And I guess
like
people were like,
right
copyright
now?
That.
Yeah. people were like asking about the shirt, and then AJ said, no, that's a Barry shirt. They thought somebody else designed it. So what I did is, because several people were hitting me up private message wise and saying, hey, I saw that shirt, and then I saw AJ said it's yours. Is it still available? So I tweeted it out again. If you didn't get one of those, just at Barry is funny. And the link is there, and you can go get one.
There you have it. And conveniently, you're wearing yours, which is great.
Yeah, I did. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll wear it. Because I always struggle, like, what am I going to wear today?
Those things have done well.
Yeah, they're popular. I have every once in a while.
Pounded the imposters out of the way. And
every once in a while, somebody will text or tweet me and be like, yo, I saw your shirt at the game, or I saw it at a bar or whatever. So that's pretty cool.
That's very,
I'm glad
very
people
cool.
like it.
Yep, no doubt about that. Speaking of like it, we always like it when you show up when we do a remote. So we do want to remind you again. Tomorrow, we will not be in studio. We will be in the 409. We will be in Beaumont. We'll be doing the show from 1 to 4. Blitz is going to be doing it from 4 to 7, and it's all going to be going down at the West Bar. So if you are in the area, in the 409, we'd love to see you. We're going to have the shirts down there.
Fun.
A lot of people have been asking us how to get the shirts. Well, if we're doing a remote, stop by, see us. Chances are we got them if you
come
need
by
them.
By the month.
I don't know. Someone said they're bigger than Clarence. If you want that shirt, then we got to make sure we talk to Courtney.
I don't think we're bringing anything larger than a 3X. Are we out of 3Xs, or do we have 3Xs?
I think 3X should. You better do it. No? I mean, you got one on Mark Shell, so I think that 3X will work. Then you got pull. So if
So
if you have to do something, you just pull it a few times, and hopefully it stretches out a little bit. And just don't wash it.
Don't wash it in hot water, for sure.
Got that right. That could be a problem. So Miller Lite, Coors Light specials all the afternoon we are going to be there. No. I'm driving, by the way, as you know. No, I'm not going to drink. If there was an Uber possibility, sure. No.
That'd be expensive.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking just because I'm not going home. I'm leaving straight from there. I got a show.
Oh, we know. You're zigzagging the universe again.
So, yeah. Otherwise, I probably will still have one or two Miller Lights.
Are you going to drive back to Beaumont and stay with a listener for the Saturday show or no? Because, I mean, doing the big show in Beaumont on Saturday night, we said that there'll be listeners would love to have you
Fred
stay.
Fred has property out that way.
Well, he said pop a tent? Because he said he doesn't have any house on it or anything.
He was like, if it was next year, you could just stay. And I was like, well, I thought about it. I was like, that'd be cool. But then I was like, oh, no, I got to go back. I got a gig in Houston on Friday. And then I got to go back Saturday for the show out there in Village Mills, I think it's called. What?
I don't see you just dropping a tent on an open space of land, making some s'mores and cooking some weenies and sitting out there enjoying the wilderness.
If I get to sleep in my bed, I'm sleeping in my bed. And 2 hours is nothing. So I would drive back.
Well, regardless. The way you drive around the country for shows.
I don't drive that. Oh, I thought you were saying fast.
No. Well, you do that too. I've seen you. Nick,
see, that's not true.
You actually make Nick seem kind of docile behind the wheel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'll be fine. I'll be there early.
We'll see.
Christina wants to know, any chance you have a show coming up from the bridge? No, I should go out there and do a man on the street, though, and just interview people. Be like, hey, is it bad? Do you just want me to cut the rope for you?
By the way, Nick, you were very aggressive driving yesterday on the way.
Oh.
I was not.
Yes, you were.
Oh, yeah, I did. So
you constantly tried to blow my doors off.
Well, that's because you've been racing me like past 2-3 weeks. Let's be honest. You've been like cutting me off. You haven't been driving like your age. I'm just saying.
Not at all. I've been in the lead. I mean, I've been ahead of you. And then you want to, like, all of a sudden when traffic slows down, you want to, like, double diagonal to get near me so that you can mean mug me on the way by.
I would say you cut me off three out of the four last times we
I think
raced.
You're selling me short, actually. Yeah, I do.
What?
I think you're selling breaking me short. Years? I may
no,
have cut
you guys
off
are fighting like this. It's like a married couple. I figured I knew I could get one of you guys angry. Now you're just going to do it to each other.
And guess what? We're going to be like getting this on the road, too. It's going to be – it's on.
We're going to battle on the way home.
I'd feel like it'd be a competition between you and I if we were racing. He's too much of a defensive driver.
He's too slow?
He's very defensive.
And drives like a grandma?
He kind
of
does.
I take care of my car.
He does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like spotless, with an exception of the dog.
Nick does not give a crap about his quarter panels. He is just going diagonal, and if there's a little smoochy, well, no harm, no foul. We're going to keep moving.
It's all good.
Yeah, you don't care too much, do you?
Not you don't really. Either. You got the new car, and then the day I had to follow you, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do 105 going like lane three over across three lanes.
I never hit 105.
Really?
You'll disrespect the police officer directing traffic, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. We got to go.
I don't
know what you're talking about.
He totally did it in his
truck. Explain, Nick.
He's like, hey, stop. The guy said, nope, I'm going to turn left. And he turned left. That's exactly what Barry did. Completely disrespecting the HPD
Not
guy,
true, no. But you're turning red and laughing.
I don't know what you're... Hey, that's another great show on the big show. How do we end it?
Well, you're doing it now. Go ahead. Take us home, Barry.
No, I could never do that.
Hey, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from Beaumont. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go in here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.